Today, November 12th in India, is the great feast of Diwali or Deepavali. The word Deepa is lamp, and Avali means a row, line, collection or series. And so Deepavali refers to a series or collection of lamps used to decorate houses and churches and temples and streets in honor of this celebration. In the Hindu tradition, this feast was first celebrated to honor and welcome Lord Rama, Mother Sita, and Brother Lakshmana back to Ayodhya after they completed their 14 years of exile and destroyed the evil power symbolized by King Ravana. And to this day, this feast is a celebration of the triumph of good over evil, the triumph of light shining through and conquering the darkness. There's a deeper meaning to the word Deepa in Sanskrit. Deepa derives from the root verb deep, which means to shine, to burn, to glow. Human beings, we know that we can burn hot and glow with anger, right? The fire and heat and light of anger. We can also shine and burn and glow with love and with knowledge and compassion. And so there's a saying that the lamp is that which illuminates itself and others with its own light. Today in Matthew's gospel, we also hear about lamps and lights. Today is the story of the parable of those bridesmaids. There were 10 of them. We know 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, 5 came prepared with oil for their lamps, and 5 were unprepared and didn't bring oil for their lamps. Just in terms of the narrative of the arc of this story, in chapter 24, Jesus had been teaching in the temple and had come out of the temple, and the disciples were pointing to the temple and telling Jesus, look what magnificent buildings this is. Look at this great temple. And Jesus, to their surprise in the story in chapter 24, says, but not one stone will be left here. All the stones will be thrown down. And so then there's questioning about, well, when will this happen? Connecting it with the coming of the Son of Man, when will this be? When will be the sign of the end of the age? And Jesus says, about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Well, in terms of history, when the Gospel of Matthew was written, the unthinkable had already happened. The temple had already been destroyed in about 70 CE. And so the Gospel of Matthew is being addressed to a people who were grappling at least a decade, if not after, the unthinkable. The temple destroyed, and here they were, followers of Jesus, about a generation after the events of the crucifixion and the resurrection, followers trying to remain faithful to the Lord, still awaiting his coming after the destruction of the temple, the unthinkable. So the message back then was, keep awake, be alert, hang in there for the Lord's coming. But how are we in the 21st century to access this story? How are we to enter into the story in a way that resonates authentically with our experience? How might Spirit be speaking to us today through those very words? I know many people that I meet with enter into the message by contemplating and reflecting on our mortality, right? As we get older, we realize that the day is coming when we too will be invited home to meet our Lord. And so I have conversations with people who don't want to be caught unprepared. There are conversations about living wills and directives, conversations about columbariums and niches. There's the green burial site in Serenity Ridge, the first green burial offering and place out in Windsor Mill. People not wanting to be caught unprepared. Those of us in Bruce Sisters in the middle age of our lives are beginning to think about the second season, the second half of our lives. What is essential and what can just be let go? I know a young woman who, even in her 20s, came out of a movie and realized that the heroine in the movie was living the life that she yearned to live, and she began to reflect, well, what's keeping me from living the life that I want to live? And she began to reorient her life to live the life that she wanted to live. So there are thoughts and reflections about our mortality, not wanting to be caught unprepared. But there's another way that we can enter into this story. There's another way that it can speak into our own present reality, hearkening back to Jesus's message, don't look elsewhere, don't look here or there for the reign of heaven, the kingdom of God. It is within us and among us. It is here and now. If we were only to have eyes to see and ears to hear, in the words of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. In everything, with prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your minds and hearts in the mind of Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Lord is near. So what keeps us from being ready to perceive and receive the reign of God here among us, the nearness of our Lord? I have a few ideas from my own experience. I know what keeps me from experiencing, and I imagine that you might resonate with this. There's the experience of the monkey mind, right? Those thoughts, those running commentaries, the narrative, the ongoing stories that we keep us imprisoned in, that conversation in our minds that keep us from experiencing what is without commentary or critique. God is. There is anxiety and worry and regret keeping us imprisoned, keeping us away from the peace that passes all understanding, that is deep within and among us. God is near. God is the God of the present, breaking in from beyond to our living, abiding presence. God of the holy, God of the whole. It is an illusion that we are separate. That is one of the biggest messages of the gospel, that we are separate is an illusion. To be awake, to be conscious, is to be living in the reality that we are all one in God. And we know what it is to create a world out of the illusion of separateness. There are so many examples. What's happening in the Middle East being yet another example of what happens when we act out of the illusion of being separate from one another, that religion divides us, that color divides us. God is one. We are one in God. To be conscious and awake is to be living out of that lived and felt experience. There are times in our lives where this reality, God's reality, is more accessible to us than others. That liminal space that becomes more felt when a loved one has given up his or her spirit. I've shared with many of you my own experience of my mother's conscious, living, abiding presence being made known to me after she had given up her spirit. And if you haven't heard any of my stories, please come up to me after church, and I'd be glad to show you the picture that I have on my phone as a screensaver that is about one of those stories. Just recently, one of my Bryn Mawr School classmates, we celebrated the death of her mother. Her mother was named Sylvia, and as she was in the car driving to this memorial, she happened to look at the title of what was being played on the radio, and her eyes noticed it said, Sylvia, Act Two. There's also those early morning hours, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. How many of you have experienced being up at that hour? Sometimes it can be not so peaceful, right? Because you're wishing that you were back asleep. But if you allow yourself to live in the peace of that hour, that is the hour where many souls transition from the 3D to the greater reality. Those are the morning hours where sometimes it's easier to channel that creative spirit. Those are the morning hours sometimes where writing just comes through, or painting comes through, when the static is quieted and the sea is calmer and something from beyond can pass through. Just this past weekend, my sisters and I, Rebecca and Frieda Marie, we were at Diocesan Convention out by Frederick, Maryland in the mountains, and we were able together to invite one another to be present to the extraordinary time of season this in, with the light so vibrant and the leaves and the colors, God breaking in through the beauty and power of creation. If we would but turn off our phones, unplug, get out of our heads and our minds, and just breathe it all in. The Lord is near. God's signal is clear. If we would only but breathe and be. So I'm going to invite you, just for a few moments, to close your eyes. And if you don't want to close your eyes, just pick a spot in front of you and gaze at it softly. I'm going to invite you to sit up with your spine erect. Our spine that protects that spinal cord, amazing, amazing channel of communication, right? It's a miracle, our spinal cords. And then just allow your focus to be inward. And allow your consciousness to rest in your breath, the gift of God's breath. Breathing you. The same breath that allows a baby to cry and laugh is breathing you. And just allow your awareness to rest in that breath. Inhaling blessedness, exhaling that which keeps you from experiencing that wholeness. Inhaling. Exhaling, that's it. And let's do one more together. Breathing in the breath of God. Exhaling separateness, the illusion of separation. And opening your eyes. Hearing again what we sang earlier. Redeemer, come. I open wide my heart to thee. Here, Lord, abide. Let me, thy inner presence, feel thy grace and love in me reveal. So come, my sovereign, enter in. Let new and nobler life begin. Thy Holy Spirit guide us on until the glorious crown be won. The Lord is near. Amen.